Howdy, everybody. Thanks for joining me on this wonderful Monday, the day before the 4th of July. We got a lot to be thankful for, of course. And this 4th of July, I hope that we can get past all this pride garbage and really concentrate on what the 4th of July is and what it's for, to celebrate the greatness of this country. My feeling is, however, is that we're going to see a bunch of Democrats and a bunch of people telling us how bad America is and how bad our Constitution is and how bad our court system is and how bad everything is unless we do what we're told. And, well, I don't want that. I want to be able to go out with my family. You know, I have my son and my daughter-in-law here with my brand new six-month-old Oliver, a little boy. They came here. They're visiting with us, and I'm thankful for that. And I want all of my grandchildren, my six grandkids, to be able to be raised. And, you know, I don't think that the America that I grew up in is an option, unfortunately, anymore. I wish it was, because there was patriotism, there was faith in the future. We weren't loaded up with fear. We weren't loaded up with a bunch of false ideas and people telling us what to do, and our government interfering in almost every aspect of our lives. And it really makes me sad. It makes me sad for my children, raising their children in this kind of society. And I tell them to be careful, listen to what is going on in the world, pay attention, because our government isn't interested in them. They aren't interested in my children and my grandchildren. They just aren't. They're interested in pushing some kind of, you know, crazy narrative. And I'm going to play a couple of it's just to kind of show you and prove to you what, you know, that I'm just not like talking out of my ass here. I'm going to play you a few things and read you a few articles to show you that where the states are going, where our country's going, where our, you know, where our president and our administration is going. We really, really need to make a change, and we can't sit on our hands anymore. We have to make a change, and we have to. Unfortunately, it's going to be painful. It's not going to be something that is easy. You're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to stand up for your standards and the principles that you have been raised with. Hopefully, you're sharing those with your children, and they are embracing those things and making good choices and govern themselves correctly. But we need to start fighting back. And fighting back is having your voice, having your free speech to say the things that you want to say, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't let these people who have no evidence behind them, no facts, no data, no nothing behind them, all they have is feelings, don't let them drown you out. Be the person that is the loudest person in the room. When they get their bullhorns, you get 1,000 people behind you, which collectively your voices will be louder than the bullhorns that we hear and see and that we have to participate in today's world. On a bright note this week, it depends on what side of the aisle that you want to that you're on. This has been, at least for me, this has been a wonderful week for the truth and for democracy. I hate using that word because it's been so overused, and it's just misinformation and the disinformation about what democracy is and our republic and our laws and stuff like that is so convoluted and so screwed up today. But if you're interested in that, you know, there are three rulings this week that were just really impressed. Number one, everybody, you probably know of the affirmative action was deemed unconstitutional by the court by a 6-3 decision. I'm not going to go into the each one of the justices' support and non-support of it, but affirmative action has been something that I have been against all my life, ever since I've become old enough to think and become an adult. Affirmative action is just another race-driven ideology and a law that we in this country, we bark and scream about racism in this country and how bad our country is, that we're, you know, that the foundation of our country and its leaders are all based on slavery and racism and looking at people because of the color of skin. Yet affirmative action over these many years has done that and is supported by people that, if you look at their backgrounds and you look at their decades and decades and, you know, decades of who they support, it's amazing to me that you have anybody that that defends this. And I don't really care. I really don't. It's either racist or it's not racist. When you're judging, when you are taking an opportunity away from another person, especially a person who has a higher grade average, who has this or that, and you replace that person just simply because of the color of their skin, I don't care if it's black or white or Asian or whatever, that is true racism. It is. And you're taking away the opportunities for people to grow and to be able to go to the schools that they deserve to go to because of their merit, because of the hard work that they've done. I am not this supporter of, well, you know, you come from a school that is undervalued and you, black communities and stuff. There are so many stories and there's so many things in history where a black student, male or female, has broken the odds and they have broken through and they have become successful because they have a desire to become so. And they were not held back by the color of the skin, or they did not allow themselves to be held back because of the color of their skin. Nor did they want to have their successes and their achievements all dictated to them or attributed to, well, you know, you got into Harvard, you got into Stanford, and you are where you are because of the color of your skin. And I believe that that happens a lot more in our society than we, you know, oftentimes we want to pretend that it doesn't. You know, if you look at this administration touts its acceptance and everybody's the same in this country, but you have a leader of the free world, okay, who, because of not merit, because of race and skin of color and of sexual preference and gender, are making decisions about who is allowed to be part of his administration, who's nominated for the Supreme Court based on these boxes that they're checking. Okay? What group do you belong to? And I'm going to make sure that I only nominate somebody who is a black, lesbian, female, black person to the Supreme Court, because we think that it's an injustice that we don't have a black female on the Supreme Court. So that's the only part. It doesn't matter if she's the most qualified. I'm not saying that they are not qualified. That's fine. But why do you even preface your decision-making process with that statement, Mr. President? You know why? Because of the idea of affirmative action. And now, I don't care what you say. I don't care. The years down the line, here's what's going to happen. And it'll constantly be thrown in this justice's face, this Justice Jackson's face, is that you were put on the Supreme Court because of the color of your skin, because you're a female. That's it. And it'll always be in the thinking behind the scenes of most people that they will always think that way, because our president put it that way. Our president submitted her name that way, and then she was affirmed because nobody, you know, to tell you the truth, you know, she got affirmed. Maybe she should have been affirmed. Maybe she shouldn't have. All right, but there's no way that you could really just look at the people who challenged her with questions about the law and her judgments, and they were crucified and called bigots and racist because they simply asked Jackson questions about her decisions that she made as a judge. I'm telling you, this is why I'm so happy to hear about the affirmative action, because this is just one portion of it. And I know it has to deal with, you know, a college, mostly college admittance and stuff like that. The lawsuit was brought, I heard, you know, I read where I think Chinese students or Asian students had sued, and they went to court and then went to the Supreme Court and they won their case. Because they were being denied the opportunity for progress in their education simply because they weren't being allowed in Harvard, they weren't being accepted into Harvard because they fell into a skin color or an underprivileged society or whatever because they weren't black. It doesn't do anybody any good if they're put into a position where they cannot succeed in that position. They are in, you know, the term was, you're in over your head. You are. If you are going to take a person who's got a 4.2 aggregate GPA and if blah, 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 and he's an Asian, and you've got a black student who's got a 3.7 or a 3.2, and it has not done the work that the Asian or the other person, I don't care who it is, okay, and you're going to put all these together, and then you're going to say, well, we're going to accept this black person because we need more black individuals at our school to be a representation. We need to, you know, 40%, whatever they're claiming that they need to make sure that everybody's, you know, fair and equitable and all this crap talk that we're talking today. So what happens is you have students who are not rightfully supposed to be there. And what they do is they get into college, and then they start taking these very advanced classes in science and math and things like that, and they find themselves struggling, and to the point where they struggle, and they eventually leave. They fail out of school. And it doesn't do that person any good, nor does it do the person that should have been in that position in the first place, who is now going to Harvard, who is now going to, you know, going to STEM research or whatever that case may be. And we'll never know because that person was never allowed to get into Harvard or Stanford or any of these Ivy Leagues simply because of the color of skin. And that, I don't care what you say, okay, that is the driving force behind this. And yet the universities will sit there and try to get around it, and so will the President of the United States. Because you know what? True, deep down inside, these schools are bigoted. They are racist. They are the ones who are actually the racists in this country. When you look at anybody and determine that they aren't going to be successful, and I can't believe some of these senators and some of these so-called leaders, these elected officials who are making statements, it drives me freaking crazy that they actually say what they're out loud what they're thinking, and it just lets you in on what is going on. You have these people saying that blacks will never be anything if they don't have affirmative action. They will never be able to succeed. Their lives will never be able to achieve anything. Yet history, right in their faces, it contradicts what they say. It's incredible to me. It's just, I don't. These people are either just malevolent in their desires, or they're just stupid. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. well, you know what? I'm glad affirmative action's done. I'm glad that people are going to hopefully be able to get into school based on their merit and not on the color of their skin. That's all I got to say about that. The second ruling came from the court again. I think it was a 6-3 again, dealing with the student loans for like 43 million Americans in here that President Biden had promised through, I guess, executive action or whatever, that he would relieve them of $10,000 of debt, $20,000 if you had Pell Grants and things like that, at a tune of like $430 billion that would cost the taxpayers of the United States of America. And there's been a debate on this for like the last year and a half or 2 years, going back and forth. Taxpayers are sitting there saying, hey, you know what, you went and got yourself a degree that isn't going to produce the level of income that is going to allow you to be able to pay it back. Too bad. You pay your own bills. I'm not paying, plumbers and people like myself who drive trucks. We're all saying, I don't want to. I paid mine off. I know I went to school at a different time. It wasn't as expensive, but I still had loans and I paid those off. Okay? They can do the same thing. And the Supreme Court sided with the decision that the president's his program was unconstitutional, that it was unconstitutional, and that he cannot just unilaterally forgive debt. Now, you've heard this for like the last year and a half. You've heard the then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi specifically I don't think you could be any more clearer than to say, the president thinks that he can just unilaterally kind of like relieve debt and say that you don't have to pay these things anymore, and he can't. He can't do that. It's not lawful for him to do that. So, President Biden knows that what he was promising these 43 million students, which you got to think, as a student, you got a president of the United States promising you something that they know it's not constitutional. And yet, here the Supreme Court ruled on this and said, hey, your program is not constitutional. So what do you get from the left? Again, you get an attack on the Supreme Court, which has been going on for years now, because they disagree. And what did President Biden say? Well, this is not a normal court. His ideas are, well, I disagree with them. President Biden, I don't care if you disagree with them or not. Okay, law is law. You can disagree all you want. I can disagree with any topic that's on. But law is law. Okay, these justices were put in their places to examine the Constitution and to see if rules and things that are president's doing, our government's doing, are constitutional, that other courts are making decisions whether those things are following the Constitution or not, or somebody's taking their personal ideas and personal vendettas or whatever and applying them to law. Okay, this is why we have the Supreme Court. And what they do again, this is what they did again. They turn on SCOTUS. And, make it a political issue where these people are just doing this because they're Republicans or they're Republican-placed, justices, and they're wrong in what they're doing. They're not wrong in what they did, okay? President Joe Biden knows. He knows without any doubt that him putting out to the American educational system and things like that, that he cannot just forgive $433 billion worth of student loan debt. And it just doesn't go away. It just doesn't magically disappear. It was unconstitutional from the very beginning. The courts affirmed that it was unconstitutional. Everybody knows it was unconstitutional. I don't care if you think or you have feelings or, you know, they deserve this and they're going to have a, you know, they'll be able to afford it. Yeah, they'll be able to afford to take trips and go out and buy more drugs and buy more useless things with the money that they weren't going to be paying back their student loans with. And you know what? And then we'll saddle up the average taxpayer with this $403 billion worth of loans that we think we can just kind of like say goodbye to and not be responsible for. Well, you know what? Again, another decision, another that was just a clear-cut case, okay, that this is unconstitutional. It's a good decision, and President, you know, do what you have to do. I know you're trying some other kind of you know, end around or something like that, you know, the Education Act of 1965 or whatever, and trying to use that and trying to resurrect that and use this in this sense. Go ahead. You know, I know that that's what you want to do. It's not good for America. It's not good for the people who are going to school. What you need to be focusing on, to tell you the truth, President, and your administration and your educational secretary, you need to start looking at these universities and asking questions. Why is tuition so damn high? And what are these kids getting out of their education, and are they going to be able to pay back? And why is it that high schools are pushing kids to go into schools instead of and going into universities, expensive universities, and coming out with these huge debts of $150,000, $200,000, $250,000? When they could really, if they were really, from the time that they're in high school and middle school, look, giving them options of earnings. I mean, that's what people want to do. They want to. Most people just want to, you know, get out of school. They want to work. They want to earn a living. If they want to have a family, they have a family. They want to be able to earn a living, buy a car, hopefully buy a home, and be able to afford these things. Right? That's what they want. And there's more options out there than just getting a four-year degree at a university. And we're starting to see the effects of some of the degrees that are being offered, and kids are coming out of school with all this massive debt, and they're coming out and getting jobs that are paying them $60,000, $70,000 a year, and they can't make their debt because they've been taught from the very beginning, from their high school years, that this is what is going to make you successful. It is not the only option. In fact, probably for I bet you at least half, maybe other options are available if you look into them. Different trades and things like that. They can offer a huge salary, a nice salary to live on, something that's sustainable. And yet we don't look at those anymore. We look down on those. We look down on the plumbers, the electricians, the carpenters, you know, the people that do the blue collar work. You know, we look down on that anymore. And we just, you know, if you listen to any of these people, it's always about sciences. It's always about STEM search research. It's always about the science, doctors, and blah 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 blah. It's always about the same. But people aren't graduating with those things. They're coming out of degrees with, you know, transphobic, misguided, therapy or whatever, and then they're trying to get jobs within the school systems. They're trying to get jobs within corporations that are pushing the ideology of the, you know, transphobia and ESG and all these different environmental and social governance type of jobs. And those jobs aren't producing what they're supposed to be producing money wise. And they're nonsense degrees. They're not going to sustain these kids. And the universities keep getting more expensive and more expensive and more expensive year after year after year after year. And it's a shame. So just a real quick, I'm glad that the Supreme Court again upheld the constitutionality of the fact that the executive branch does not unilaterally have the ability to forgive debt. He can postpone it. He can postpone it, do whatever, but he cannot alleviate the debt of these students. It's a constitutional question, and the Supreme Court did what it's supposed to do. It followed the Constitution. And if you're on the Democratic side and you don't like it, too bad. If you're actually arguing the fact that President Biden has the authority to unilaterally just relieve debt as he is doing, and you think that's constitutional, then you need to get out of public works. You need to get out of government because you don't know what you're talking about. This is not difficult. This is not a difficult ideology. This is not a difficult thought process here. Okay, this is pretty straight up clear in the Constitution of the United States, and you can't do that. So, President Biden, sorry, another failure of yours again, and which I'm very happy that the Supreme Court ruled against you in this, and not because you're Joe Biden, because it's unconstitutional, and you know it is. Stop acting like it's not. You know it is. You can disagree, fine, disagree all you want, but it's not constitutional, and that is it. And then the last one was the 303, the lady who didn't want to do a website for a gay and lesbian group, and it went against her religious beliefs, and they ruled in her favor as well, which I was very appreciative of, because now you're in I believe the way I look at it, I'm not an attorney. I'm just an average Joe. I'm just an average driver here that's giving you my opinion about things. But people ought to be able to, be able to sit there and say, hey, listen, I don't want to do that work for you. There's plenty of other people, the designers, that can do that work for you. And I just don't want to do that. I'm sorry, but there's plenty of other people that do that. And you ought to be able to do that based on your faith and your beliefs. And those people who are arguing that she's a public business and she shouldn't be able to discriminate. I think that you should be able to live the principles. I believe that my life, my religious beliefs, I carry into my work. I don't go and preach the gospel, and I don't go and preach to those that I work with, and I don't go out and pass Book of Mormons out to, drivers that are sitting at the hub. I don't do all that. But if I was asked to do something or forced to do something that went against my values, I would probably do what this lady has done and say, this goes against my beliefs. You're asking me to go against my beliefs. I don't have any ability. I don't really have a desire. I don't want to be able to do this. And there's other people and other companies, other people that can design, websites for you. And I don't want to do it. So go look for somebody else. And I'm very, very happy that the court stood behind this lady who basically looked at this as a freedom of speech, this is a freedom of religion, and I'm glad that the court stood up for the freedom of religion and the freedom of thought and not being forced to do something that goes against the base of who you are as a human being and your belief in God and belief in right and wrong or whatever. You know what? And you can go find somebody else to go do the work. This is what's really bugged me about all of these cases where these transgender or these gay couples will, I don't know, sometimes I think they target these people because they know that they're Christian. So they go into these places knowing, and there's plenty of other places where you can bake a cake, get donuts that will do that, okay? That won't have an issue with it. Yet you choose to go and you fight these people and you want to destroy their lives, you want to destroy their businesses. And so in some cases that one company had been in business forever. Okay, and you had these I think it was gay and lesbian or gay couple come in there and they wanted to bake a cake and for their wedding, and he said, "No, I don't want to do that." And he was crucified for it, literally, just crucified in the media about it. I thank you again to the Supreme Court for standing up for religious freedom, religious thought. There's, like I said, there's opportunities abound for people who want a website that's gay or lesbian or transgender associated in ideology, go for it. Go find somebody to go do that. There's plenty of that in the world today. You can do that. Stop going after people who don't believe your ideology and your thoughts and your feelings. It doesn't make them a bad people. It doesn't make them evil. It doesn't make them homophobic or bigoted or racist or anything. They just don't believe in it. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. And that's the way people need to defend themselves, and they need to stand up for their rights and stand up for what is true. Okay? No matter what the world does, no matter what the governments do, wrong is wrong. And I don't care if the whole world's doing it. The wrong is wrong and right is right. Okay? Thank you for allowing this woman to speak her mind, to stand up for her faith, for her principles, and for her standards. And it's a great win as well. It's been a great week for me. And listen, I wish I had the level of the support for my podcast that other place that, and I need to earn that. I understand that's why I do this. And they, to a point in their, you know, in their podcasts and their organizations, that they have people that do a lot of background checking and going and deep, doing some deep dives into the what ifs and all the details of these cases and everything. I appreciate it because I get a lot of my information from them. I try to read. I try to educate myself. And I'm thankful. And someday, hopefully, that I'll be able to get to. The only thing that I have, rely on is the common sense factor to me is so important. Does it make sense or doesn't make sense to me? Okay. And then I start asking questions. And then I ask questions. And I keep going until I get those questions answered. And I listen to all types of different sources in order to come up with the conclusions that I have. I don't need a degree in this. I'm a human being that operates off of thought process, critical thinking, and that's what I have right now. This is so. Please, I mean, if you're like me, which I think a lot of you are, is that you just know things to be good or bad. You know things to be right or wrong when you hear it, when you see it, when it's placed before you. And just have the courage to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. That you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. Why? And ask questions. And if people who aren't going to answer your questions, and you're going to ask the questions of some of these leftists, they don't want to give you an answer, then, you know, the hell with them, because they don't want you to get to the bottom. They don't want you to come to an understanding of the principle, the standard that they're trying to push. They don't want you to. They just want to convolute everything. And that's what they want to do. Don't stop there. Keep going until you find the answer that is the truth and that makes sense to you as an individual. And then base your opinions, base your knowledge, base that on what you have learned through your reading, through your study, through your investigating, through your asking questions. Our society is saying to you, don't ask questions, just accept things for face value. We're telling you this, you need to accept it. We've been having that for like the last 3 years with COVID. Just accept it. The experts are smarter than you are. You're a dummy. You don't have any right asking questions. We'll shut you down if you ask these particular questions. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask them anyway, because I want to know the truth of things. I want the common sense part of me to be in alignment. I don't want to walk around being conflicted all the time. And a lot of these ideologies, especially this transgender ideology, you get more people who are walking around confused about who they are. And this whole almost like it's a religion. They're confused. There's no answers, right? They're not given any answers. They're just told to comply. Parents are told to comply. Don't ask questions about your children. Teachers, if you got a student, don't get the parents involved. Students, you know, teachers are telling the students, hey, don't tell your parents about your pronouns. Don't tell them about anything because they're going to ask you questions and you don't want questions asked. You just want to be affirmed. Okay, just that kind of idea is just in my head. How is that? And why is this taking place? And that's what I think. I thought that as a parent, and I think it now. I go, how is this allowed to take place in our school system? How is it allowed to take place in our government, in our businesses? In France, you get all the rioting and going on right now at the BlackRock headquarters there. The ideology is not true, and it will never be true, no matter how hard you try to push it, no matter what title you give it, whatever pronouns or whatever vocabulary you use, and you try to change it. We've done this decades after decades after decades after decades. When you don't get what you want, you change the name of it, you soften it up, you make it sound like it's super delicious, like a new cereal coming out that's all sugared up, just to get people to believe it. And it's all the same. It never changes. It's all the same. It will always be the same. It'll be false, and it'll hurt people in the long run, and we need to really kind of fight it with all of our heart and with all of our beings. Because if we don't, we're going to lose our children. Parents, we won't be able to raise our children and raise them with the principles and the commandments and the standards that we have been raised with. We aren't going to have that opportunity because it's going to be taken away from us by government. Okay, we're seeing that in California. We're seeing it in Michigan, where if a parent doesn't affirm their child, that child can be taken away from them. Same thing in California. It's passed the assembly, and you could lose your child simply because you're the parent and you don't accept and affirm their 6-year-old, 3-year-old ideology that they want to be a girl and they're a boy or vice versa. You are going to lose your child. You are going to have your parenting rights taken away from you. This is what this is about. And in my next episode, I'm going to read a very interesting article that I'm not going to go into now because I've already been running too much. I'm going to read an article to you that I think really hits this thing on the head. And it talks about the purpose behind this it's what they call transunionization. I think that's what it is, of the individual, of the people. And it's a very interesting article. And I'm going to read that. I'm going to read excerpts from that for you just to show you where this is all going and the whole underlying foundation and basis for what is going on in our country. And it's in our government. It's in our schools. It's in our businesses. It's in our media. And we need to fight back. Hey, listen, thanks for listening. Everybody, I hope you all have a great 4th of July. Celebrate it for what it is. America is a wonderful country. It is the best country in the world. Its government, its constitution, its Bill of Rights, there's nothing that parallels it. Nothing. And we are a country that grows. We are a country that learns from our mistakes. Yes, we've made our mistakes, but we, at the 4th of July, we celebrate those, all the failures and all the successes, all in one, that makes us the great country and the citizens that we are. So celebrate it, revel in it, raise your flags, honor the flag, salute the flag, do what you're supposed to do on the 4th of July, and have a great, safe day, and I'll talk to you on Thursday. Thanks for listening. If you want to listen to this again, you can get it on my website, robscottpodcast.com. If you got any comments, please write me at rob@robscottpodcast.com. If you love the podcast and you want to share it with your friends, please share it. Give me 5 stars on whatever platform you like to use, on Apple, Spotify, whatever. But please share it. And I just want to have a conversation with people, and I just, this is how we learn. This is how we grow. Anyway, have a good day. Thanks for listening.